Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Wicked Good Book Club for one night only.
Bet you thought you got rid of us.
Bet you thought, where'd they go? Oh
Yeah,
well.
well, things
We're
happen.
excited to be recording again. Life got a little weird there for a couple months. And so anyway, we're back.
We're back.
And we're starting. I guess we're ending June by starting something new, which I think is really exciting because this is something we talk about all the time. Because this month, I guess, because it's the only one this month's book is going to be Throne of Glass. Yay!
Woohoo!
We're both
One of
shaking
my
our arms in the
faves.
camera.
And I'm
And just
wearing
as,
a Throne of Glass sweatshirt,
yeah, so she's got
so.
on a Throne of Glass sweatshirt, and I have on a My Favorite Murder, Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered sweatshirt. So we're
Beautiful.
really repping everything except for our own brand.
Well, considering we do not have
We don't
anything
have a
to
brand.
rep,
We don't have a brand. Yeah, that's
I'm
fair.
kind of repping. I'm repping the book that we're talking
You
about.
are. No, yours is more on brand for sure.
Did I do it on purpose? No, I did not.
No.
Sorry. It just happened.
So this is exciting because this is like the first SJM Power series, the whole, like, this was the first one, right?
This is the first one, and it's the only technically finished one. So,
It
yeah.
is. It is. Although, is it finished?
I don't think there will be any more Throne of Glass books.
No, I
I'll
agree.
put it
I
that
agree.
way.
I agree with that. I don't think there will be any specifically Throne of Glass books. I agree with that. But I don't know, more to come on that. I think that's exciting. So this is a decade old book at this point. It's an August of 2012 publication, which is kind of crazy. Because then you think about, I mean, she just released Sky of House and Breath, House of Sky and Breath,
Nice.
like a couple months ago. So very crazy. 416 pages, which is and is not a lot. Because it's not like a cheesy romance novel, but like so much happens in 400 pages.
And that is the, I would say that is the theme of Throne of Glass.
Yeah.
So much happens in so little time.
It does. Yeah. And this one, I mean, there's not a ton of world building in this first book. I feel like you get that more in the second book. And so you really hit the ground running with it, which is exciting. And I will say, of all the books that I've read of this series right now, because I'm a newcomer to the series, so this is my third SJM series. I've already done Crescent City and I've done ACTAR. So that I'm coming to this third, which is super backwards. I think this was my favorite book so far. There's definitely a lot writing-wise that I see she's developed on throughout the years. But other than maybe Queen of
I
Shadow,
was going to say, I think Queen of Shadows is
which
my favorite,
I
so.
really enjoyed. Right now I'm doing the tandem read of Empire of Storm and Tower of Dawn, which has been grueling for me at best, but I am making an effort to do it every day because I
It
know I
will,
have to get through
and it will get better.
it.
And yeah, there's a reason to do the tandem, in my opinion, but
Yeah.
we can go over that when we actually get to that
Yeah,
book.
it's just taking me a while. But Delaney is a longtime fan.
I
Longtime
mean,
fan.
it depends on your definition of long time, but
It's longer than
a
me.
couple years probably at this point. And yeah, I love it. I would say that with this first one, I liked it. And then I would say by Air of Fire, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I love it. So, yeah.
I'm enjoying it definitely. It's weird reading her early books before or after reading her new books because I feel like her writings come really far, but it is really fun to kind of see where she came from and to see where some of the SJM like quotes and stuff came from because you saw here first. It's funny.
Yeah, and this I believe she wrote when she was 16 or 17, so
I
the
know
writing is very, very
that's
different.
crazy that she was so young.
So it does throw you through a loop, especially if you're used to Crescent City specifically. So I don't think I'd recommend if anybody's trying to read like SJM universe, I would say ACOTAR first, then Throne of Glass, then Crescent City.
Yeah, at the
But
very least.
yeah, definitely. But it's good. I still like it. I actually read it on paper the first time and then just listened to the audiobook. And the audiobook was a lot better in some instances. For example, I didn't notice all the exclamation marks that she uses in the written version.
Absolutely. There were it is mostly punctuation that I struggle with because the writing is not like there are no plot holes that she learned how to fix and stuff. The writing itself is very thoughtful.
Yeah.
It's the writing style.
Yeah.
That definitely caught me off guard. But anyway.
It's that's what it is. It catches you off guard because it's very
you off guard.
It's a little juvenile.
It's immature. But like you have to remember again, she wrote this as a teenager and she wrote it 10 years ago. So
But the story and the characters are very impressive for
that
juvenile writing style.
And they have such nice growth is what I'm seeing throughout the series is the characters definitely developing, which is great. So
big time. Yeah. I would say this series has the most character growth thus far.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. From where you are. So.
Oh, yeah. I know. I need to just keep pushing through these books. I've been in such a reading slump. Life's kind of been, like, not great. So I've been in a reading slump. But I am getting back into it because it brings me joy. So.
Yeah.
So, Delaney, what happens in Throne of Glass?
Nothing. We're going to stop it here. No. A lot. A lot happens, like we said. But first, so let's start at the very beginning. As one does. The book opens with Kale, who is retrieving Selena from Endovir.
Endovir is what pronunciations for this one killed me.
Yeah. Technically it's Kale, but I string it together and it's going to be Kale whenever I say it because I can't say Kale. It just doesn't work. And then it's Selena and Endovir is how you pronounce it. So. Mm-hmm. Kale is retrieving Selena from Endovir, which is a slave camp that she's been imprisoned in for the past year. He presents her to Prince Dorian, who has summoned her to see if she would be suitable to compete for him in a contest that his father is putting on.
That's such rich people shit. Like
it is. Dorian even says that. Like he acknowledges that this is like really stupid.
Like so and like fucked up. Yeah. Yes,
even he acknowledges it.
Yeah.
And the contest itself is to discover the next king's champion, which is in essence someone who will do the king's dirty work, like being an assassin or going to do, you know. Things that
anything that's non-sanctioned things for the crown, basically,
right? Like the CIA, for example. Whoopsies. So the king is a horrible person. He's really arrogant, and he's very much a tyrant. And he's been conquering kingdoms throughout Aurelia. And then he also eliminated it. That's how they say it in the audiobook.
Right. No, you're doing great. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Also, he eliminated magic from his kingdom and other nearby lands that he took over, which is a central plot point that there is no magic in Aurelia because he got rid of it. He will punish anybody who retains books about the subject, who is found trying to practice magic, who talks about magic, any of that. You're subject to being detained
Who retained magic, like
anything. So Selena is a good candidate for the competition because she is a very famous assassin. She is known as Otterlin's assassin. Most people don't know much about her identity. They just knew her by her reputation. She's really, really smart. And it becomes apparent quickly by how she analyzes people and there's her surroundings. And she's just very good at picking up situations and people and how things are going to act together. So part of that's training, part of that's just her, as we find out. She's being led by Kale from the prison. And then she is questioned by Dorian. And then she ultimately agrees to compete in the competition, get her out of Endovir and possibly get her freedom if she wins. So they agree to have her use the alias Lillian Gordana to try to keep her identity hidden, because for a couple of reasons, but I think they become a target from the other competitors if they knew she was Arlen's assassin.
Yeah. So, I mean, her reputation is like really closely guarded anyway. People don't actually know what she looks like. And that's part of what makes her such, she's so good at being an assassin, because no one expects this like beautiful young girl to be the assassin. Like 18. She's like 18. Yeah. She's a teenager here. So she, obviously she's been imprisoned in a slave camp for a year. She's in bad work. And she is really weak and thin. She used to be really beautiful, but it's been really diminished by the condition she's been in. Obviously she's not, she's very malnourished. And so it's kind of nice in a way for her to be in the castle surrounded by like good food, nice things, because we learn that she is a lover of the finer things in life.
Oh,
like
she is.
To
oh,
excess.
Yeah.
She loves nice things.
She's a glam girl for sure.
So she's like really excited to be in the castle and to have pretty dresses and do all that stuff. And I think this is an interesting part of her character, is that she's written that she's in a, like the deadliest assassin in her world, and also like loves shiny shit.
Yeah.
So I
it's one of my favorite things about Selena, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So it turns out that there are 23 other potential champions, or champions who will be the king's champion, who are competing against her, and they all are going to train and compete and live in the castle with each other, and it's going to be over 13 weeks. So she realizes that a lot of the competition is not a competition to her. She actually recognizes or has heard of a lot of the people in the contest, but there are a couple that might give her trouble because she wants to win this. So the one that is going to give her the most trouble is Kane, who's just huge and brutal. And like, he is competing for the king's advisor, Duke Parrington, who just bad vibes from the start with that dude.
Bad vibes from the start, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So basically, in order to try to beat all of these opponents, which she's the only woman in the contest, she has to go through all of these grueling things, and she has to start training with Kale to get her strength and her skill and everything back, because she basically has been malnourished for a year. So Kale's like, hey, I want you to stay in the middle of the pack. I don't want you to stand out, because it goes through phases. Basically, each week someone's eliminated from the contest, and then it progresses to just be down to the final two. And she normally does hold herself back, but there is a challenge where she saves the life of another competitor because Kane sabotages it. And then she's like, why would I be in the middle of the pack when I could be literally like the best?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's a sense of, it's a point of contention for her, because she is very prideful.
She is. And so, she's very competitive.
Yes. Which, you know,
which same.
I appreciate. Yeah. So as all this training and the contest is going on, weird things start happening, right? Weird bad things start happening in the castle, because of course we couldn't just have the contest.
No.
So one champion actually turns up dead before each contest is about how it's spaced out. They're being murdered and completely mutilated. Mm-hmm. That's really brutal and out of the ordinary. They're just completely like ripped to shreds. No one can find any clues as to who is doing it or what exactly is happening. And so Selena starts quietly investigating on her own, because, you know, they're going after champions, so it could also be going after her. One night she discovers the entrance to a secret passageway behind the tapestry in her room.
Secret tunnel.
One passage leads her to a mausoleum dedicated to the first king and queen of Otterlin, named Gavin and Elena. And then spooky vibes. I believe this is on their like version of Halloween in the books. The ghost of Elena begins to visit Elena in this room, the mausoleum, in her dreams. Elena explains that there's a clock tower on the castle grounds that serves as a portal between their world and dimensions beyond, foreshadowing for things way later.
For all kinds of things.
She warns Selena that something evil has entered the castle from this portal, and that Selena has to discover who is controlling it. Elena tells her that she's the only one who can put a stop to it, and that she has to do so before the portal is ripped open so that even more dangerous creatures come into the world. So, you know, no pressure.
Which, I mean, if I was Selena, I would be like, okay, and?
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. That's kind of the funny part. It's like there's, it reminds me of Harry Potter. Every time they're searching for the Horcruxes and they're like, and, you know, it's like Dumbledore's like, find the Horcruxes. And then it's like, okay, how? Nope. Peace. That's yeah, like okay. Exactly what happens with Elena.
Well, yeah. She's like, can you give me a clue? She's like, everything you need is already inside you. She's like, right. There's nothing inside me.
Yeah, literally. She's, ugh. I would be incredibly frustrated. And Selena is. She like very much like kind of rejects it for a long time where she's like, the fuck is this?
Yeah. I'm and then she keeps getting like repeated things and she's like, you have to help us and save the world. And she's like, no.
Yeah. She's like very much being pulled into it when she really doesn't want to.
Yeah.
On other fronts, as Selena and Dorian and Selena gets to know Dorian and Kale better, it becomes very obvious that both Dorian and Kale are starting to have some more than friendly feelings for Selena.
That's although, such a weird way for you to say
more
that.
Than friendly feelings.
Yeah.
Romantic well, I mean, they started inklings. Off like hating each other, so
they did, yeah. Well, especially her and Kale, like really,
really
hated each other,
yeah,
yeah.
Where Dorian was like intrigued from the beginning, probably,
yeah, he was,
yeah,
totally.
Oh, Dorian, but so Kale's indications are much more subtle because mm-hmm. they hate each other, and also Kale is like grumpy boy, and Selena likes both of them for different reasons, and they are very different people,
super.
So Dorian is super charming and they share a love of reading. They seem pretty attracted to each other quickly. Mm-hmm. And they have fun together.
Yeah.
They visit in her room. They play billiards, I believe. They bond a little bit over music a little, mm-hmm. but a lot over reading. So, you know, it makes sense that she's attracted to Dorian, but then also on the other hand, Selena is seeing Kale's strength and his honor as they train together. And as he performs his duties for Captain the Guard, they're both really strong willed and butt heads often, but there's definitely like a deep bond forming between the two. And they actually spend more time together than Dorian mm-hmm. and Selena do. So very different. And both of those are kind of forming at the same time. I would say at least in this book, Selena being she's probably a little bit more attracted to Dorian.
Yeah.
At this point. But I also feel like it's kind of just because Dorian is also being super open with it, whereas Kale is not.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot less complications. Like their relationship would have less complications, even though it's the prince and then this assassin lady, because it's almost worse to be like the guard and the assassin in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, but Dorian. Selena and Kale are too stubborn.
Yeah, together. And like Dorian is a lot more willing to bend to her in some regards, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every time she talks, she's like talking about Kale in her mind and stuff. I just picture the TikTok where it's like, am I attracted to this? Am I?
Yes. Am I? Yes.
So it's kind Absolutely. Of a turning point. She shows up uninvited to this big royal ball and she asks Kale to dance. And he's like, you're crazy. Absolutely not. And she's like.
And this is the part where I think of the TikTok. Am I the drama?
Am I the drama? I am. Yeah,
I am.
And she's like, that's fine. So she goes and she dances with Dorian, which is like 50
am
times.
Am I
more
the drama?
Obvious, more yeah. obvious.
Yeah, definitely. And
after she leaves, Dorian follows her to her room and they kiss. And you're like, ooh. But then we see that Kale has been quietly watching from the shadows and he's like
the creeper he is.
She's like, she's into my best friend. And I'm like, was it not obvious? It
yeah,
was obvious
to
everybody else yeah. knew. Other than the men and the little triangle they have going on, which is like, it's not a pointy triangle. It's like one of those elongated triangles. So
yeah,
she also meets some women in the castle. The first is Princess
Nehemia,
mm-hmm. who is there kind of as like a delegate from her country.
AOA.
and they become fast friends outside of the castle. They are teaching each other their own languages. And Nehemia is teaching her what she knows of word marks, which is the ancient language that's tied to the magic. And they keep finding them all over the castle and stuff. So they're kind of teaching each other stuff. And they do keep a lot of secrets from each other, but their bond is very strong. And they really enjoy each other's company. On the flip side, she meets Lady Kath.
Caltaine.
Caltaine, thank you. Who
Catalan, maybe? I don't know.
I thought it was Catalin. I read it like
No, it's
Caitlin, but
Caltaine. Lady Caltaine.
who is like very much so a court lady. She has her eyes on Prince Dorian, but she's in a relationship with the Duke because she's like just trying to advance her status and that kind of stuff. And she kind of sees that Dorian's into Selena and Selena's into Dorian, and she's like, well, that can't be. And she's like, also, I would know any of the royal ladies or ladies of the court that were coming around here, and I have no clue who this bitch is. So I'm gonna dig into it and find out who she is. And she hates Selena like from the get-go and is very suspicious of her, which, like, fair.
I mean, fair. Yeah,
Yeah.
she probably should be. So here and there, Selena reveals glimpses of her true background to Nehemia, Dorian, and Kale. One major thing is she shares how her parents were murdered when she was 8 and how a man named Arbarin Hamel took her in and trained her to be in his League of Assassins. And he's known as the King of Assassins, so he has an intense reputation as well. Her training was incredibly hard mentally and physically. Some would call abuse or torture, you know. But she excelled and she became his star pupil and obviously a very skilled assassin. She also tells, especially Dorian, how the love of her life, a fellow assassin named Sam, was murdered just before she was sent to Endovir. She also reveals the really horrific scars on her back from being whipped when she stood up to the guards in Endovir at different times. Scars that never healed that people from Eelwe, which is Nehemia's country, helped her heal. And that's how she learned Eelwe. There's a lot of rebels from there in Endovir. Eventually, Selena discovers that Kane is the one who's actually summoning the creature from the portal that is murdering all the champions.
Classic.
Classic. He ends up locking her in a secret passageways with it, with the monster, and Selena rushes to the tomb to retrieve King Gavin's famous sword, Demarius, to defeat the monster. But the creature bites her before she can finish it off, and then Nehemia finds her and heals her using word magic
That she's not supposed to
that
have.
she's not supposed to have. But
No.
somehow does.
It's this book is funny because as this is all going along, like you're still getting the moments where they're doing the whole champion thing, but it really takes a backseat to every other thing that's going on.
I
But
mean, yeah.
she progresses each week, and finally, she's in the final contest and she's competing against Grave, who's another one of the King's champion people. And then she defeats him and she's going to compete against Kane. And she's like, fuck, that's a big dude. And Duke Parrington and the King ask Caltaine
Caltaine, yeah.
to spike Selena's drink and to basically make it so that she's incapacitated so that she won't win, because really the king didn't want her to win all along. And they're required to do this toast to the king before the fight, so she unknowingly ingests the poison right before her battle against Kane, and it makes it seem like it's going to be easy for Kane to win because basically she's incapacitated, she's been roofied.
Right.
So she's laying there injured and not looking like it's going to go very well. And Kale starts encouraging her. And then Nehemia, who at this point, she's in, I don't know how to describe it. She's like kind of in between worlds at this point. She can like kind of see dead people, but she can also, like, she's in the spirit world, but the alive world because
She has magic.
she has magic. So Nehemia rescues her using word magic, and it basically takes the poison out of her system, and it puts her kind of back into the present and the now world. And so even though she's got really, she's gotten the shit kicked out of her at this point,
Yeah.
She does defeat Kale once the poison is gone from her system, and she is the winner. Kale, she defeats Kane. Well, she should defeat Kale. Kane is mad that he's been defeated and he does try to kill her, but Kale sees it and kills him before he can kill Selena, which
Yep.
is nice, but also that whole scene, that like 45, 50 pages was a lot.
It was a lot. A
It was
lot
a
was
lot.
happening. There were dead fey queens happening,
There were
weird magic things happening.
things that she could see, but other people couldn't see. The whole thing was just really.
This is also where she gets that fun little mark on her brow that people don't understand what it is yet.
And she uses the staff, and there's a whole thing.
It's a whole
So,
thing.
yeah. So she wins, and she obviously needs a lot of help because she's been beaten pretty badly. So she's kind of like in the infirmary. Kale comes to visit. He's like, "Look, I'm really haunted by the fact that I killed Kane. You know, I have difficulty killing people,
That's the first
but
person he's ever killed, was
yeah."
Kane.
And then he's like, "But I think it's good that I did it." And then Dorian comes by as Kale and Selena are hugging, and he's like, "Oh, I wonder if something's going on with them."
Sad boy,
And
Dorian.
emo boy Dorian.
Initiate, yeah.
And then Kale is like, "I gotta leave." And then Selena's like, "Dorian, I can't be with you because I can't be the king's champion dating the prince." And he's
Which
like,
is
"Look,
a
we,"
fair
which is
point.
a good point, but I also like his point that we can just keep it a secret.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to sneak around a little bit.
However,
I've never done it, but I'd
going
like to.
into other books, it doesn't really work out for Dorian and sneaking around,
Yeah,
I
that's
will
true.
say. It
That's
turns
true.
out pretty badly.
That's his own fault. So she's like, "Look, I like you, and obviously there's something here, but we can't do it." And she wants to be good friends, and he's like, "We can agree to this." And then later, Kale comes back to her room, and he's like, "I'm looking for Dorian, and I figured he'd be here." And Selena's like, "Don't be such a bitch." And then she's
Exact
like,
quote. No, I'm kidding.
she's like, she, I mean, kind of.
Kind
She
of.
she's like, "Look, I ended things with Dorian. I understand that it'd be too complicated." And Kale's kind of like,
Oh.
"Oh, did you? But you didn't end things with me."
Right. Yeah. So the book closes. Selena signs a contract with the king. He threatens to hurt Kale, Nehemia, or even Nehemia's family if she doesn't fulfill the contract. But if she serves him for 4 years, he says she will allegedly be free.
And
So,
basically, the contract just says you're going to kill whoever I want and do whatever I want and topple whatever government I want whenever I say it, and you'll always come back and you'll always provide proof. So it's pretty chill.
it's pretty chill. She's like still a slave for,
For 4 years.
but with like a little bit more
Yeah, but
longer leash.
she gets paid a lot and she has nice things now.
And she does technically have the freedom to come and go.
She does. Yeah, that's very true.
So it's definitely
So.
better than, being whipped in salt mines.
Yeah, it beats where she was, but it's not quite good enough
It's not quite good enough yet.
yet.
So, but that's where we leave the
That's where we
first run of
leave.
Glass Book.
There's a lot that goes on.
A lot.
Yeah,
Yes.
so
It is kind
let's.
of strange that you said it and I didn't really think about it until now, but most of the world building doesn't happen in this first book.
Nope, almost none.
Yeah.
Because everything that happens basically happens in the grounds of the castle.
Yeah, the main world building, I would say, is the introduction of word marks. That's
Which
like the.
is like a couple pages. It's not even a lot.
It's not even a lot. It's literally just like
Spread out.
hints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Introduction of word marks, introduction of portals, and introductions like of Elena. That's it.
That's it.
It's very wild to see. Again, this is only the second time I've read this book, but. Where we start and where we end. And then going back from after I read the whole series and then coming back to this, and I'm like, this is like a different series, to be honest with you. Like it changes
A
quickly
lot. Yep, it
to
does.
something very different.
It escalates very quickly,
It
but in
escalates
like a
very
fun
quickly.
way. So,
No, it's good. It's just funny. Like looking back at this, it's like, ah, oh, the simple times,
yeah, really. I had all kinds of thoughts about this book when I
Lots
first
to
read
talk.
it because I was, again, making a lot of comparisons between newer books that she's written, characters that she's written, the similarities between some of the characters that she's written, the world similarities, because it's definitely interesting reading the world she wrote after and the elements that she chose to keep co for continuity, and also the elements that she chose, obviously, we know now for overlap, which is cool. But the more time I've spent away from this book, so I read this book, I don't know. When did I read the first one? It's been a couple months
A
now.
couple months.
Yeah. The more time I take away spend away from it, the less I remember about it because
Absolutely.
it turns into this whole other story. So my thoughts on this book now, being a couple months removed, are just that I would like to go back and reread it because I remember it being pretty fun in terms of new characters, kind of a different idea, the competition and the this and the that, and also the kind of juxtaposition of what was going on as what you think is the main element of the story, which is the contest. That's the pretense at which we're brought into the character's world versus, everything that's going on in the castle, the relationship dynamics, learning about her past. That's all interesting. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. Did I enjoy it more than other first books in SJM series? No. Did I like any of the characters more at this point than I liked characters from first SJM books? Not really, but now, five books into the series, I have a much better appreciation, and some of them are my favorite characters. So, for all of the nuances of this being the first book that she wrote, and kind of the immaturity struggles that you find with the writing and with the storyline a little bit, still really enjoyable, for sure.
It's definitely very fun. It's still definitely a good story. I thought that for the most part, it's easy to follow. It's easy to, want to learn more about, specifically for me, I was like, who is this Selena?
Yeah, she's
What
a
is
cool
with
character.
her?
She's
What is with her history?
not a typical female protagonist, antagonist-esque character. Like she
I really, really liked her a lot. She's got a lot of elements of Bryce. She's got a lot of elements of Rhysand, in my opinion. With like a little bit of like more thrown in my opinion. So it's definitely fun to see. She's not, I don't think I've ever seen another character written like Selena.
No, not really. I was kind of thinking of characters from past books. The closest that I could think of was like Katniss,
And not even
a
then.
little bit, but not even then really, because she changed in the moment. She wasn't raised like she was, like it, yeah.
And Katniss was very serious and
Yeah.
very unlikable at the offset for most people. And that's kind of the exact opposite of Selena.
Oh, I think
She.
Selena's very unlikable for most people. She has a very abrasive personality.
Oh, I think she's charming to most people because I think that everybody wants to hate her, and then they're like, God damn
Oh
it.
yeah, I think she
Everybody
can
ends up liking her.
totally be charming, but she's an asshole.
Oh, she's definitely an asshole, but she's a charming asshole.
Yeah, no, she has the charm element that Katniss lacked, for sure.
And again, there's a lot of times where we see that like Selena, she doesn't think that things need to be taken too seriously. In fact, there's a few times, especially in later books, where she should take things more seriously and doesn't.
Doesn't.
She's like, I'm here for the LOLs and the shits and giggles,
And
and I'll figure it out as I go.
she really likes for stuff to be her way or not at
Oh, big
all.
time. Yes, that like Katniss, yes.
Yeah, and I mean it's fun to have a female character that's written with this attitude that like I'm so great, everyone should love me. I love nice things. I get my hands dirty. Like this is the type of female character I think we need more of. Although I do think with the characters in Crescent City, the female characters in Crescent City, this energy was channeled a little bit more.
Absolutely, yeah.
I find that for ACOTAR, there are definitely some softer female characters who still have strong personalities and still who do a lot, but have a lot more empathy than she does.
Yeah, especially particularly Feyre. Feyre is a lot more concerned with other people, and
She's a lot more motherly.
she's a lot more motherly. She isn't full of herself. at all.
No.
I wouldn't say Feyre is arrogant at all.
No, not even a little bit.
Whereas Selena's like, I'm literally the hottest person on the planet, and you're
But,
lucky to be in my presence.
and see, Bryce also has that attitude,
Absolutely.
which I love. I mean,
I have
you
a
know, I
joint
have a.
playlist that is inspired by certain characters,
Oh
and
my
Selena
gosh.
and Bryce are on it.
I feel like I need to listen to this playlist. This sounds
Yeah, it's basically just like, I'm a hot bitch. Yeah, that's the playlist.
I'm a hot bitch. That's
I'm a
amazing.
hot bitch. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I think it set up the whole series to be really fun. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and one thing I will say that I like about Selena's character a lot is, especially during this time period, I would say mid to late 2010s-ish era, of the main female characters where they're like, I'm not beautiful, I'm not like other girls. And
I
Selena's like, no,
don't.
I'm like every other girl. I like shiny things, but I'm also the hottest bitch you've ever seen. Like, it's very opposite of like Triss from Divergent. She's the opposite of Triss, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Triss was raised that like she wasn't
Absolutely.
allowed to look at herself in a mirror.
Yeah. But
But that notwithstanding,
yeah,
yeah.
the and even Katniss has a little bit of that where she's like, me, beautiful? No.
No. Oh, they put makeup on me? What? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely fun to have a character that's like this for sure.
Yeah.
And she was one of my favorite characters. I mean, of
Yeah.
the book, there were a lot of characters that I just didn't feel like had enough development for me to really be into them super much, but I enjoyed her and Dorian very much.
Yeah, Selena and Dorian are definitely the highlights of this book. In my opinion, a couple of the highlights of the whole series, but
Yeah, and I mean, Dorian is like he's the type of male character I enjoy. He's
me
got
too.
the boyish charm, like can be serious, but also can be really fun and like wants to get in trouble. I like that vibe. So.
Yeah, I like that vibe a lot. And I also like the grumpy characters, but Kale doesn't fully do it for me.
Kale doesn't have the personality for me. Like.
He has the personality of a piece of kale. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and that's where the problem lies. It's that he's grumpy and also like super serious and also like
And also kind
a
of
stick in the
boring.
mud. Yeah.
Yeah, and like just doesn't have that zest for life that you like.
Kale is the color brown.
Yes. What do you call something that's brown and sticky? A stick. That's kale.
Yes.
And because like I like the grumpy characters. Now after reading It Happened One Summer, I like the grumpy characters who also have like a passion and are obsessed with the girl. Like that's my
Yeah.
vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, those were my favorite characters. I enjoyed some of the other side characters. I did find that her writing was a little bit, because it was a little bit more immature in this book in particular, I had a harder time reconciling how Selena felt about different characters' deaths because I didn't feel like they were written to have been that serious to her. Like, I know that Nehemia was her friend and they grew very close, you know, in a short period of time, but I sometimes struggle, especially with this book series, with her writing, to be like, oh, I totally got the vibe that they were like twin flames and she's like heartbroken. And I know that, you know, with Sam and everything, how it all happened, that added to it for her, but I definitely struggle to kind of see the importance of some of the characters.
Yeah.
I know it develops and like obviously that gets recalled later in the books and the concepts get recalled and the feelings for all that. But because the writing is just, like you said, a little bit more juvenile, it didn't get that as much.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see that. And she fully develops that later on in the series where there are certain deaths that are absolutely devastating. So have fun with that, Sarah. But in this first book, it almost seems like the stakes are very low, even though they should be a little bit higher, I feel. And I think that's because of the writing a little bit.
Right, exactly. It seems like sometimes the It doesn't match. The situation and how she's writing it doesn't match. And it goes both ways. Serious situations are written as not, and not situations are written as serious. So, yeah, I definitely get that. Although I find that it happens less in the later books, like the ones I'm reading now, I don't find that it happens as much.
No. And some of that I think is Selena herself, especially at this first book. Like, she was at
She's
the point
young.
where she's young, and she was also at the point where she's like, yep, I'm just gonna die in Endovir. Like,
Yeah,
fuck
now I
it.
die. Now I
Right.
die. Yeah.
She and like throughout this book and the next one and the next one, she's
And the
trying
next
to
one.
specifically the first three, she's
Yeah.
really trying to like find a life for herself and like a reason to live and to do something more. So I feel like that probably has a little bit to do with it, but
Yeah, and
almost
I
like apathetic in certain ways.
and that vibe I get a little bit because she's a teenager. She's 17 or 18 in the book. She's grown up with this very extenuating circumstance where she's very mature in some ways and also very immature in others. And the qualities about her that have been praised and have gotten her to where she is are not necessarily the qualities of a mature adult functioning human. Human, in air quotes. And so I can see that the writing kind of matches her, but it just needs to be the writing about those moments and how she feels, not the writing surrounding that. So that's really my only complaint with it is that I think if Sarah J. Maas was to go back and write these books again, maybe we wouldn't get that as much.
I feel
But
like we'd be able to go past the Throne of Glass, the first book, feels very surface level
yeah.
of a story. And I feel like right if she were to go back and rewrite it, she would really be able to get deeper.
Right, which is, I mean, there's so much that happens in the book, and there's so much story that's created, and there's it sets it up super well for the series moving forward, still, regardless, which is really cool. But really, that's my only complaint, and it's hard to even fault her on that because, again, she was a teenager writing this huge, creating this huge world for us. So, I'm not down on it too much on my power rankings for all the books this year, though I think Throne of Glass did get beat out by the other book.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but enjoyed it. And I mean, glad to be reading the series for sure.
It's a good start to a series, but it's not going to be the best book. The same way that ACOTAR is not the best book in the ACOTAR series.
Yeah.
Crescent City is a little bit of an anomaly where the first Crescent City, House of
Blood and Earth. Earth and Blood.
Earth and Blood, I think. That one was an exceptional first book to a series, in my opinion.
Exceptional.
Whereas ACOTAR was good. I enjoyed it a lot,
Yeah.
but the other books in the series are much better.
Well, all but one. The novella sucks.
The novella, you just hate happy things.
I just think it was so pointless.
It was not pointless.
It was pointless.
It was
Anyway,
the time we got to see them happy for once, God forbid.
I don't need to see them happy.
Oh, I do.
I need to read about them having
I
sex,
love
and I need
the
to read
Christmas
about
vibes.
them.
They did have sex.
I
All
know.
right.
It's just
I
not
loved the Christmas vibes a
it's not the
lot.
same. It's not the same.
I love it.
Our next thing to talk about is prediction for the possible all world mashup, but I'm worried that I'm gonna hurt my own feelings with spoilers here since I haven't read the rest of the books in the series yet.
So, I mean, I'll be able to know if I'm not gonna give anything away for you.
Okay.
But some of the things we talked about, and I brought it up even before you started reading it because it's not a
Right,
massive spoiler.
we have
The
talked
word
of yeah.
marks,
Right,
the
yeah.
word marks. It's something that comes up in both House of Earth and Blood, I believe, and Sky and Breath, where they're like random word marks, and people are like, I don't know, it's just like an ancient language. I'm
Yeah, and I
like,
mean
it's
obviously we
word
deal
marks.
with portals
Yes,
all
portals.
the time. All the time. And I know that you've mentioned some stuff about her falling through portals, and maybe she's seen in one of the other books.
Possibly.
And I mean, we already know that there's overlap. There's Crescent City and ACOTAR
ACOTAR
overlap.
overlap.
And my general assumption would just be that there's going to be overlap from this as well.
I think it's not obviously as clear because ACOTAR was confirmed. However, there is absolutely there's absolutely overlap through all three worlds. It's just, are we going to get Throne of Glass characters in ACOTAR, or not ACOTAR, Crescent City is my only question. I think yes. I think there's a lot of setup for it.
I think so, based on what I've read so far. There's a lot of potential for it.
Another one is the shifters in Crescent City, mm-hmm. who we learn are actually Fae.
Mm-hmm.
There are Fae shifters in Throne of Glass. So.
Right. Yes. They all are, basically.
They all are, basically. Yes. Like, yeah. That's kind of the idea, is like, maybe those Fae shifters from the Crescent City world came from Throne of Glass world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So I would think it would be, I mean, one, I would think that in order to really capitalize on this, she would write it like that. Because it's feeling like, now reading her first series after reading these other ones, she was setting this up all along.
Yes. But that's something that you were noting to me as you were reading it. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, reading it in that order did give that perspective a lot more, which was cool. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, obviously she's put a ton of thought into these storylines, which I love.
Yeah.
But I also just think there's so much overlap that it would be kind of crazy not to. Like, I feel like it could be so easily done that it would be interesting not to.
Yeah, I agree. And I've said at least 5 times on this podcast that if Aelin and Rhys Andor are in the same room together, I'm going
to melt down.
Yeah.
Melt down.
But I think the only thing I would say keeping SJM from not bringing in Throne of Glass characters is just that it's a finished series. But that's not a good enough reason, in my opinion, when she's set up the connections for all three.
It can totally be a finished series, but the timeline for us is ?
I know the timeline. Yes. Okay. So, at
least. Do you not feel like we could get retrospective anythings?
No, we probably could.
Okay.
I don't think we could for Throne of Glass series.
No.
No. Throne of Glass is...
Does it actually wrap up?
Throne of Glass wraps up, yes.
Okay.
Throne of Glass, the last book, the very end, is Akasif. Same time.
Okay.
Crescent, I think, and then Crescent City, House of Earth, House of Sky and Breath. I think SJM said that it takes place, like, less than 6 months after Akasif.
Oh, okay.
So when Bryce goes in to the ACOTAR world, it's like 6 or so months after the end of Akasif.
Yeah. So we've given up on spoiler warnings at this point, guys.
I'm being a little bit more cautious about some things in Throne of Glass because we're going to talk about the books later on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil anything for you, even though there are some things that you have already read, but there's some big spoilers that we'll talk about in later books. So I will hold off on something.
I just want to throw it out there that I was so fucking confused reading this book. I'm like, who the fuck is Aelin? And why does Delaney like her so much? When does she come into play? Are these characters all going to die off? Like, how does this work out? So that, for me, the fact that that was kept under wraps for me, I feel like was pretty good.
I tried so hard to keep that under wraps. Should we just say it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can just say it. We don't care at this
That's
point.
That's one of the things that I've been very careful about this whole episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Selena is Aelin. that's the big thing. And
which is so funny. I'm like, Delaney, who the fuck is this person? And when I'm like, do you have two main characters? How does this work? And Delaney's like, I mean, kind of.
No, I said yes. They're both main characters. I was trying very, very hard to not spoil it for you because I had it spoiled. I didn't get to find out like you did. And I found out because I was reading Throne of Glass and I had heard of Aelin.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
right. Which I hadn't really even heard of the Throne of Glass series. So that made it easier for me. I didn't know about it really.
Yeah. I had heard like of people loving Aelin.
Yeah.
And, then I was reading this and I was like, oh, Selena. Okay. Maybe we'll get to Aelin later on. Maybe she's like another main character or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I wonder if there's fan art. Like, what does Selena look like? And then it showed her picture and it was like, Selena, Aelin. Fuck. Like, I spoiled it for myself with fan art.
So I have not gotten that many spoilers, but I did get the big spoiler about mates and that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't remember how I saw that. It was on the internet, obviously, somewhere. So that did get spoiled for me. Although I kind of figured it was something like that given the characters
Yeah.
and how they were developing. So, like, I'm not, it's not like shocking or whatever,
Right.
but it was kind of a bummer to learn like more information about it and not
Yeah.
just the basics. But
Yeah.
overall, I mean, I can't be that disappointed. This book series started 10 years ago. The
Yeah.
last book came out several years ago, I think. So,
Yeah, I think the fact that you were able to find out who Aelin was
yeah.
without being spoiled is like the massive one. And I'm
Yeah.
like,
Yeah,
great.
that
Now
was good
everything
enough.
from here, if you get a little bit of spoil, you
It's
know.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the
So
one I was like, I really want that to be organic. But
that was organic for me, which was nice.
yeah.
The only real question I have for this whole episode is, do you use the SJM pronunciations? Like, do you look them up before you read the books or no?
I don't always look them up, but I do default to them, yes. I usually pronounce them the same way that she does.
I don't. I
I know
read
you
them
don't.
however I want.
I know you don't. I
Yep.
know.
This is a resand conversation happening right now.
Yeah, and you just said it correctly.
Is it?
Resand is how you say it, not Rysand.
No, because I call him Rise in my mind. I don't call him
It's Reese.
Rees.
It's Reese.
I know, but what's she gonna do? What's she gonna
Kill
do about it?
you. That's what she's gonna do. But no, I say Resand, I say Selena, not Selena.
I say Selena.
Yeah. I say I read her whole name incorrectly originally. Not Aelin and not Selena, but Aelin's other last names.
Yeah.
I pronounced it, let me think, it's on my shirt. I pronounced it Aelin Ash River
Oh, this is a spoiler.
Galathinius. This isn't a spoiler.
A little bit.
We already talked about how Selena's Aelin.
I know. Well, I feel like her last name is like.
Nah.
Okay.
That's how I pronounce it. It's Aelin Ash River Galathinius is how I originally pronounced it. That's not how you pronounce it. It's
No, that's definitely not.
Aelin Ash River Galathinius is
Yeah.
how you pronounce
Which
it.
that one I got
Nice.
right.
No, that's not how I pronounced it originally, but I stopped that quickly. It's okay.
Yeah. I just kind of. I don't know. I read stuff how I read stuff, and then when I hear it differently, then I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I default to the correct pronunciation usually when I hear it. How do you pronounce Selena's last name?
I don't know if I know it.
Selena Sardothian.
Sardothian? Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
How about Dorian Havelyard?
Yeah, I don't know how I
That one's
pronounce
hard
those
for my
last
tongue
names.
to say, but Havelard? Yeah.
Havelard. That's a real New England ass thing to do, is to like write stuff this way. So the word that I've just typed on our Google Doc, how would you say that?
Hold on, where did you type it in?
It's right here.
Haverhill.
Yeah, so it's Haverhill.
Yeah, bullshit.
So it's
That's
a
a bullshit.
real New England ass way to write stuff.
How about,
I know this is a lot of fun for people listening right now who can't see
yeah,
what we're typing.
you pronounce that?
Kissimmee.
Good job. It's not kissing me.
I used to live in Florida.
I know, I'm aware. I don't even know if that's how you, that's not,
Apalachicola.
yeah, that's not how you, I just spelled it phonetically.
Yep.
Whatever.
All right, we'll do one more.
Peabody.
Peabody.
Absolutely not. That is not
Yeah,
what that word says.
I swear to
That's not
God.
what that word says. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
It's
All right.
Peabody.
Since we're off track anyway, what else are you reading, watching, doing into right now?
Yes. So I did read Hook, Line, and Sinker.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm torn because I think I like Brendan better than Fox. But I like Fox a lot. But
Yeah.
I definitely like Hannah better than Piper. I'm sorry.
Oh, see, I like Piper better.
Okay, I get it.
But I like Fox
You like
more.
Fox more than
I mean,
Brendan?
okay, so no, that's not an entirely true statement. So I like elements of his character, i.e., what he's described to look like.
I
That's
like Brendan
more my
better.
type. But Brendan as a whole person is my soulmate.
The funny thing is, let's look at Brendan, right?
Yeah.
how he's described, for example.
If you guys don't know, Delaney's boyfriend.
Does it remind you of anybody?
Looks quite a bit like the description of Brendan. Yes. Yeah. That is true. That is a true statement. I recently got to meet him for the first time. They've been dating for 58 years.
Yeah.
And I just
got to meet him. I'm only 27, but somehow it's been 58 years.
And I just got to meet him for the first time. But yes, no, that's what I mean. When we started reading the book, you're like, oh my gosh, he's like, they're described so similar.
Yeah. Personality a lot of wise too. Like the
he is grumpy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's grumpy.
I like the grumpy with the dark hair and beards apparently.
I am personally out looking for now my own fisherman.
Your own fisherman, yeah.
Because I'm getting divorced.
Hey. Which
is, it's not, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because, like, what the fuck? But I feel like this podcast was there for me when I got engaged and when I got married. So now you're here for me when I get divorced.
When you're single again.
Single again. And Delaney and I, we actually laughed the other day, yesterday, today. All the days are the same now.
All the days,
That this is the longest I've been single in the last 10 years.
Ooh, whoopsie daisies.
Yep. Which is as embarrassing as it is terrifying.
And aren't you so glad that you became single just in time for abortion to be legal?
Oh my gosh. Oh, just as a side note, we'll get back into what we're doing. It's like fun, but
this is chaos.
This is not good.
This is chaos.
This is a very bad day for anyone who wants to have reproductive rights. If you think that just because this affects people with uteruses at this point, you are wrong to assume that this will not slide into every other aspect. If you don't think that laws protecting the right for the LGBTQ+ community to marry the people that they love, mm-hmm. if you don't think that this is going to severely access or limit access to things like social programs for high risk and at risk and high utilization people, you are wrong to think that this is something like that.
If you think that this doesn't impede on your medical privacy rights, you're wrong.
If you think that this is something where the only reason they did it is because it wasn't clearly laid out in the Constitution and it's a state's right issue, you are so wrong to believe that it was granted to the states for any other reason other than the fact that they would like for it to be inaccessible
to individuals
across the country.
And if you think it's only going to affect people who want abortions, you're wrong. It's going to affect people who want in vitro fertilization. It's going to affect people who use birth control. It's going to affect everyone except for people who are usually white and rich.
And men.
And men. But even it will affect some men too.
It's heartbreaking to me that it's gotten to this point. I mean, Roe v. Wade was designated in 1973. It was the law of the land for 50 years. It was supported by bipartisan support back in the day. So
it's still supported. I think something like 70 to 80% of people think it should be upheld.
83%
in America. Agree on something.
83% of people said they felt like the ruling was wrong, which, like, that's unheard of. That's unheard of. So just really disappointing. We definitely had a hard time with it at work today. I work in healthcare, and looking at my patients and the types of impact it was going to have on the lives of so many people is just heartbreaking. Yeah. So call your senator.
And
get your IUD. And register to vote.
Yeah.
So what else are you into right now?
So the other thing I'm reading is I am almost completely done with the Plated Prisoner series.
Oh?
Uh-huh.
And?
I'm in the last one now. I like it. It's dark, I will say. There is some sexual violence in it.
Mm, tough one. But if you know the warning going into it, yeah.
Yes, and that's what I'm kind of trying to say. It's like trigger warning for any kind of sexual or domestic violence.
Okay, fair.
But it's good. I like it. Pleasantly surprised. It is on Kindle Unlimited, if anybody's wondering.
Nice.
It's a good one. Other than that, I read the other Tessa Bailey book.
Mm-hmm.
Killer
yeah,
Vacation.
My Killer
Summer.
Vacation. My Killer
Vacation.
was a vacation. And how was it? Because that's on my
It was
TBR.
good. I liked it a lot. Characters were good.
Spicy.
Very spicy.
Love
Spicier
that.
than either Hook, Line, and Sinker or...
That's good because I really feel like it fell off between It Happened One Summer and Hook, Line, and Sinker.
I would say this one's even spicier than what It Happened One Summer.
Good.
They fuck in a church. I'm just going to put it out there.
Nice.
That's the only one that took me out of it. That was the only one where it's like, no one in this situation is even making a comment about how they're having sex in a church. Okay, we're just going to ignore it. Got it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Again, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Delaney does not believe in having sex in public places.
That's not true at all.
Delaney does believe in having sex in public places.
I just think it's weird to not acknowledge that you're having sex in a public place.
I think that if you acknowledge it, it becomes too real. So you just have to push through.
I think it's also funny because like one of these characters was raised Catholic and they're like, let's bang in a Catholic church. Let's do it. And I'm just like, and then again, never acknowledging.
Catholic trauma, baby. Catholic trauma.
And then I'm trying to think of, was there another book I read? No, I think that's it. Oh, that's a lie. I listened to an audiobook. Spoiler alert. And it's about this guy who's in a famous TV show and he is writing fan fiction on the side.
Oh, cool.
And he writes this. He meets this other girl who's writing fan fiction and then they start dating and she doesn't know that he's writing fan fiction, etc.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
How are you? The only reading I'm doing is occasionally glancing at the books on my bookshelf and saying, you need to fucking read those.
That's
I've been in
reading to me.
Definitely been in a real slump. I'm also not really watching anything right now because I work 6 days a week now, trying to fill my schedule and fill the void that I have in my life. But my mom and I did try to start Downton Abbey. Each episode is exhausting, though. So we're like three episodes in over the course of like a month. Right now, I'm really into buying myself lattes as a treat.
And yes, I love that.
Sitting on the deck looking at the ocean. That's where I'm at right now.
So what you're telling me is you just need a fisherman man to sit next to you.
I just need a Brendan to,
to
come home to. Yep, that's what I'm looking for.
Yep. So do we want to talk about our next books?
Yeah. So we are going to put out two episodes in July.
Promise. Unless something weird happens.
Sure, maybe. I don't know what else can happen at this point. But I'm not ushering the energy. That's not a challenge, universe. That's not a challenge.
Yeah.
So book one is going to be Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tessa Bailey. We'll round that out because it's just, they're technically standalones. Obviously, they overlap. But that is the last one as far as I know.
Yeah. And then the second book, I think we have two options.
Okay.
Either we could do Where the Crawdads Sing. Because that's what we had kind of talked about.
Yeah.
The movie's coming out.
Yes.
Or we could do the next Throne of Glass book.
Let's do Where the Crawdads Sing, and then in August we'll come back to Throne of Glass. I feel like we need to space it out.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if you wanted to space it out like one a month and another book, or if we want to space it out a little bit more.
We'll do a little bit more for now because this is late in the game. But yeah, that can be our first month book.
Okay.
Moving forward. Yeah. So in July we'll do Hook, Line, and Sinker, and Where the Crawdads Sing, two hot, 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 hot books.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into August with some more Throne of Glass book.
Sounds beautiful. Crown of Midnight will be next.
Crown of Midnight it is. Crown of Midnight's good. I enjoyed
it. Crown of Midnight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, fun. Yeah. You can find us on TikTok, Wicked Good Book Club. Is it our whole name?
I think so. Yeah.
And we're really funny.
We are.
We're really fun.
I think so.
So you should follow us there and comment on everything. We're also on Instagram. I think it's at WickedGoodBC.
I think so.
And then
we're so great at this.
We have a Gmail. I don't know what it is. I don't think
anybody checks it. I don't know what our Gmail is.
I think it's
WickedGood. I made it and I don't know what our Gmail is. Yeah.
But TikTok's the best place to interact with us, give us ideas, chat with us about stuff. We love it. And we will be back in July, second week of July, with Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tessa Bailey. It's a good one. It's a fun, it's a cute one. It's a fun one.
It's a cute one and also like a deep one in a lot of different ways.
It is. I find that it's it's interesting. It's deep in its own unique ways, but deep very much so in the same vein as It Happened One Summer,
Yeah,
which
agreed.
is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's cute. Like it's a nice read.
Yeah.
It's a nice read for sure. So, very much so enjoy, and
Yeah.
we will catch you next time. Next time.
Nice.
Thank you so much. I worked so hard on that.
Next time. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.